All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I'm Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for yet again another show with us. I know you're all so excited. We get to spend some time together, talk some more football. Before we get to that, we got to do all the formalities here. Make sure, if you're new to the show, head over to Grumblings Media on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there, because it definitely helps us out a lot. And we have eclipsed 16,000 subscribers, everybody. And thank you guys out there that have been giving us all the support in the world. It's up to you guys that's gotten us to this point. Thank you so much.
Yeah, buddy, Joe. Yeah, we weren't able to go live last time, but we posted a video out there. It's getting a lot of attention out there. I know we got the Dark Horse teams out there, and I'm sure, again, some people agree, some people don't, but it was fun getting back into the studio here and going live. Busy day, you know, New York weather today, you know, sitting out in the sun by the pool, though, so I'm fresh out of the pool and everything, too. I still even got my swim shirt on, so all refreshed, ready to go,
like
Joe.
I just got off an island today. damn near 100 degrees today.
Yeah, it's crazy.
New York, and I got to tell you.
Yeah, tomorrow will be 50 and rain.
I'm not used to that kind of weather. But, we got a really good show for you guys out there. We got we're going to do our own X-Factor players for each team in the AFC for today. We're also going to go over a few of the free agents that are out there. Can they still help? Or is it time to retire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it when they do that announcement, too. They're like, oh, after, you know, long consideration, I decided to just retire. That's what I always kind of look at when you look at some of the debates. Is it better to, you know, wait it out and see if anybody wants you, then just kind of retire, or just kind of retire early and just knowing that, you know, maybe I could have played for another team, but I'm ready. I'm ready to just walk away from the game, you know? Because, you know, some of those players always just hang out a little bit too late. And then they do that dumb, like, you know, I'm going to sign for one day with this team so I can retire team, you know.
It's a formality.
Like, yeah, I just even heard, you know, I don't know if it's fake news or not. Again, it was on Threads, so you never know how fake or real those could be. But Odell Beckham Jr. talking about trading in his Super Bowl ring to be able to get signed with the Giants and play one more time with them and maybe win a chip with them. But I think that's ridiculous, though. I don't think anybody would trade their Super Bowl ring. What happened for that? So just to try and play for their team,
I'm not giving up a Super Bowl ring if I ever got one. Like not even for a veteran minimum contract just to go back to a team that I wanted to finish my career with. I'm sorry, I'm holding on to that bad boy. That is very hard to come by. And not many guys that even get into the NFL accomplish that. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see kind of like all these like end of career type years where players like a DeAndre Hopkins or something like that, where they're like always trying to hunt for that contending team. Like, oh, maybe I can help them and then we can get a Super Bowl, you know, that type of thing. But a lot of times it doesn't end up, you know, working out.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So, all right, let's get to it. The focus of our show so far tonight we're going to talk about is the X-Factor players. And we're going to start off with the AFC first tonight, and then next week we'll cover the NFC. So what it is that X-Factor player, that guy who has that special talent, you know, that's not even just coachable. That guy who's just got that it factor that helps the team, that, you know, they could just, you know, die by not having this guy here just because of what he brings to the table. And some of them you would think, oh, that's got to be easy, hands down. You know, it's this guy. If it's not, you know, that's crazy, you know, which I get that too. I mean, some of these teams, when you talk about MVP player, that's kind of in the same, you know, sense that you would talk about, I guess, you know, but they're different. You know, I mean, MVP, if a guy, you know, if it, you know, went down, you know, and if they didn't have it anymore, yes, the team would be worse or soft, you know, but X factor is somebody who has that special talent that you just can't coach, that, you know, that helps the team instantaneously.
And it's not going to be just who the best player is. X factor is going to be who we view is going to give a lot of help to that one particular team that no one else really expected. Because we get to the Bengals, of course, everyone's going to say Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, we get it. he's the go-to guy and all that. But there's other guys on each team that probably should get a little bit more notice as we approach week one of the 2025 season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so first off, Joe, I'm not really that prepared, so hopefully I can get it done here while we get it going here. But so I'll have you start off with this. We're going to go with the Buffalo Bills first in the AFC East.
Buffalo Bills, to me, it's pretty simple. No, it's not going to be Josh Allen. It's going to be Khalil Shakir, the slot wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, and honestly, the go-to guy for the Buffalo Bills. This is a guy without him, I feel like this upcoming season is going to be lost because you got guys like Keon Coleman who in his second year, they still have him on the outside, playing the outside X or Y position wide receiver. And it makes me scratch my head. I mean, this guy is not made to play on the outside, but for some reason they still got him pushed out there. But I think a lot, you're going to see a lot of big time plays, whether it be for first downs, touchdowns, or just playmaking ability. I think Khalil Shakir is going to be the main key for the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. All right. So, again, I'm not going to go so much on like kind of certain guys that are kind of just like small pieces here. So, some of these are going to be obviously for me. And I think when you look at the Buffalo Bills, everything is on Josh Allen. So I have to say Josh Allen, man, because look what he brings. That some of the stuff that, you can coach, which I get, that they have. He's gotten better, since being a rookie. But, the strength, the physical talent, too, with the hurdling guys here and there, it's just unmatched, So I think he's got to be their it factor here. He's the guy that's the whole X factor to the team. If you don't have Josh Allen, you don't have much of anything there. So, and I almost looked at even, the way James Cook was playing too, because for a guy, when we talk about now where he wants to get paid a little bit more, out of the three seasons that he had, over 1,000 yards rushing, plus also getting involved in the passing game. So I was possibly thinking about even James Cook on that factor, but I'm going to go with Josh Allen. It's an easy one. I get that, but I think just what he brings to the table, he's the X factor for the Bills.
Yeah, totally. I just stayed away from any kind of, easy pick. Obviously, everyone's going to say all the big names for each team.
No, I get that.
But to me, X factor for me is going to be someone that's going to be a major contributor that's not the all-star of the team. And that's going to be the pivot point I feel like teams can lean on for the upcoming season.
All right, so next up we've got the Miami Dolphins show. What do you got?
So for the Miami Dolphins, it's like one of these things where I looked at their defense and I'm like, they got some nice pieces, that they've been able to add this offseason. But and then you look at the weaponry that they have at wide receiver, you're thinking Tyreek Hill, you're thinking Jalen Waddle, those are easy ones to go to. But I'm gonna go to second year man Malik Washington, that's going to be playing the slot receiver position for the Dolphins. And I expect him to have a breakout year this year for the Dolphins. And with Tua at the helm, I just think that it's going to be one of these things where you got Tyreek Hill, everybody's always worried about. Everybody's all know Jalen Waddle. As long as he can stay healthy and stay on the football field, those two are, they're just amazing football players. They make plays left and right. Malik Washington's going to go overlooked this year and just kind of eat away all the targets and catches and capitalize on them.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. That's the thing with that team too, is when you look at those guys, they're like a 1-2 punch, him and Tyreek Hill. It's almost when you look at, Philly, or I brought up, what team was I talking about last year or last week, with the whole, over having 100 yards apiece, So always going to contribute, always going to do well. I like it, but I went in a different route. I'm going with Devon Achane again, just because, I guess health is a factor in this one too. But I think when he's on the field, already he's got 14 touchdowns between the two seasons, and, that's within – 17, 28 games total. So if he can stay healthy, what he really contributes to this club, not only just running, but also in the receiving game too. On top of it, he is a difference maker, and that only helps Tua too, because again, that pass rush is coming. That guy can't take any more hits. So a good running game will help that, out here and help Tua totally too. So I think, a big part of this offense and the X factor here for the Dolphins is Devon Achane.
Yeah, Devon Achane, he's pretty special when he's healthy. And that's been the biggest crippling thing about him, is that he's always been injured in his young career. If he could just put it together and stay healthy all season, in limited amount of playing time that we've seen him play, he's made some unbelievable plays and had unbelievable games. He had 200-yard rushing and receiving yard games, like stuff that doesn't normally happen in the NFL. This guy has done it already and had at least a couple of them that he's already accomplished so far in his young career. So this guy has the special ability to make just a simple play turn into a big home run, and it would be exciting for the Dolphins fans, obviously, to have this guy healthy all year and see what he could do. Hopefully, this is the year for him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Joe. All right, so next, moving on to the New England Patriots. We're looking at X-Factor players here for each team in the AFC. Play along. Tell us who you guys think is the guy here, too. Let us know in the comments. All right, what do we got, Joe?
So for the Patriots. I went defensive. There's a guy that they signed in free agency by the name of Robert Spillane, who is the linebacker for them now in controlling the defense. This guy is a heat-seeking missile. He is a very smart, great tackle machine. He's going to help turn this defense around, which was kind of had like Swiss cheese, you know, looked like last year, where it just couldn't get everything all right on the same page. Yes, there were some injuries that were involved, but still, they've done a lot of work this offseason, offensively and defensively, trying to fill these voids, and so they can be a more competitive team this year with Vrabel at the helm. But give me Robert Spillane. I think it's a key addition for them to kind of get this defense right this year.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there too. That's funny. But I was thinking about it. I looked at Spillane, and I'm going to go on the defensive side of the Patriots too as well. And I'm going to go with a guy that is familiar with Mike Vrabel too, and that's Harold Landry III. Harold Landry III, last year, the Patriots, I don't think, had anybody over 2 sacks, I think, you know, so basically 0 pass rush at all. So they bring a guy like Robert Spillane here to help out a little bit in that, but then also the run game. But Harold Landry, there you go. They got your pass rusher right there. Last year, a little bit of a downturn, had only 8 sacks, but still, again, way better than anything the Patriots have been doing. But prior to that, 10.5, and then his Pro Bowl year when he had 12.5 sacks. So continuously working hard, off, you know, a terrible, you know, team in the Titans from last year, rejoining here with Mike Vrabel. I think that's going to be a big factor for them, and he's the X factor, I think, for that defense.
We'll see. I mean, Harold Landry now with a new environment, new defense that he's going to have to learn. Similar, but not the same. I wonder how effective he's going to be, because in Tennessee, he was only known as a pass rusher. In New England, he's going to have to do more than just pass rush. So he's never been known as a cover guy. So we'll have to wait and see just what Vrabel has in store for him.
All right, next up, Joe, we got the New York Jets.
And no, it's not Justin Fields. It's Breece Hall. I mean, this is the – I mean, come on. Like – for all the conversation and the rumors that have been had about possibly the Jets maybe thinking about moving on from Breece Hall or trading him or whatever, it's preposterous. It's ridiculous. This is a guy who is one of your more elite offensive playmakers on that side of the ball for you, other than Garrett Wilson. But Breece Hall does it all. Like, he can run, he can block, he can catch out of the backfield. He does it all extremely well at a high level. This guy is going to be the reason why, if you have any success this year, it's going to be because Breece Hall's in your backfield. So give me Breece Hall for the Jets.
Yeah, I like it. I like Breece Hall totally there too. I think, yes, he's going to do well. But again, with that three-headed back system that they have back there, he's still going to get here. I get that. And they're going to do their thing. But I think this year, especially now that he's kind of the guaranteed number one, and I think you've got Justin Fields there, I think he's going to get fed the ball a lot. I think Garrett Wilson is going to be the X factor here. He's going to step up. We saw some of that late last year, that ridiculous backhanded, one-handed catch mm-hmm. that he had in the end zone. It's part of our intro, I think, now yeah. even. So, so I think Garrett Wilson's going to have a great year here for them. I think that's the X factor to help them out here. I like Breece Hall, too. I looked at him, too, as well, buddy.
So. I would definitely pick Garrett Wilson if he had a quarterback. He just doesn't have
one. Yeah, no, so, I get that.
I mean, when mm-hmm. you had Aaron Rodgers there before, you can make fun of him all you want, say he sucks, everything like that, but when he got time,
yeah, his numbers were not sucking,
time,
though.
He could get the ball anywhere he needed to get it. So
yeah.
I think now having a decline in that quarterback position, it's going to be really tough for Wilson to kind of get big-time numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, we've got the NFC or the AFC North and the Baltimore Ravens. Joe, what do you
got? I have not someone that you might think. It's on the defensive side, but I'm going to go with rookie safety. Malachi Starks.
Oh, Jesus.
Who, I'm telling you right now, this yeah. kid is electric. This kid does everything yeah. extremely well. Kyle Hamilton, who's going to be right next to him, this is going to be one hell of a tandem for years to come. I think Malachi Starks, you know, breaks out on the scene right away, and it looks like he's just a veteran out there. Like, the guy's going to make plays on the ball. He's going to be a phenomenal tackler. I think this is going to be a match made in heaven for Baltimore. They're going to really love their defense this year.
All right. Yeah, I was looking all over on this one, too, because there's so many good players. Like, you could kind of go anywhere. Yeah, I was thinking even Kyle Hamilton myself. I went with Derrick Henry again, just because he was the difference maker last year. Yes, he wasn't the one that actually helped them or to get over the hump and make it into the Super Bowl. But for some reason, again, when it came down to crunch time, they didn't have him on the field. And I don't know why, but you saw the difference. You have Lamar Jackson. He's doing there. And I know probably even people want to say Lamar Jackson, he's the X factor. He's got everything. And he does. He has unteachable talent about scrambling and this and that. But Derrick Henry, he's got it all, too. I mean, strength and stuff like that, you know, the stiff arms, you know, the natural ability, you know, natural height and strength that he had. I mean, when he was we see his high school videos or even middle school, the kids towering over these other little kids, man, scary. I would have felt terrible trying to, you know, play against that guy. But I think just the addition of him last year, you saw the difference with the offense and what they are able to do. And I think he is really the key to that offense, not Lamar Jackson and what they do moving forward. So I think the X factor for Baltimore has got to be Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, that's an easy one. I mean, I would have totally went with that because it would have been so simple. But I wanted to challenge myself with this. So I ended up.
No, I get that. Well, I know, but you're talking about X factors. I mean, he fits the bill. So next, we've got the Cincinnati Bengals.
I went running back Chase Brown. That guy, ever since he's taken over the starting, you know, position at running back, he's been nothing but exceptional. I mean, the guy has really helped open up this offense even more than what it was. Like, yeah, we all know about the aerial attack between Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and that's all exciting and all, but you do need a running game, and the Bengals have been missing it ever since Joe Mixon. They had a big void there. They tried to fill it, you know, with Zach there, and it just didn't work out. The guy was hobbled and banged up before you knew it, only a month in, and then here comes Chase Brown, who, as a rookie, surprised the hell out of everybody and now has earned the right to be the starter. So to me, Chase Brown is going to be that X factor for the Bengals this year.
Again, I don't know this one, because this one's tough for me because it's the Bengals. So you got a lot of good talent here, especially on offense. Maybe for me, I'm just going to go with Trey Hendrickson again, just because he is the X factor on defense. I mean, if you don't got him, you don't have a pass rush at all, especially what they did last year. So for him, I think it's very crucial that they have him back and bring him back and give him his money.
As of right now, they don't have either D end. They don't have the rookie Ja'Marr Stewart.
Yeah, I know.
They don't have Trey Hendrickson yet. So It's going to be intriguing to me how they get this all taken care of, because they obviously need both guys. And Shamar Stewart is the future. The problem here is I'm surprised that it has taken this long to get even just Trey Hendrickson's deal done and get him comfortable with coming into this year and playing. Now you got to worry about Trey and the rookie you just drafted. So, you know, let's wait and see. But the Bengals, you know, they're treading rough waters right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, again, you can't be all offense and have that defense, you know, be lacking, because that's where they failed last year. You put up a bunch of different points, but then that defense gave up a bunch here, too. And you had to try to outscore everybody. Exactly. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you can't win that. You can't win that way. All right, so next, moving on to the Cleveland Browns here, Joe. The Cleveland Browns, what do we got for
Cleveland Browns.
X-factor player for them.
A lot of good defensive talent and everything, could easily selected
Shedeur Sanders,
something like that. That's too easy to me. But I went with a position group that not many people would go with. That's their wide receivers, because they really only have one guy, and that's Jerry Jeudy. They have one guy that could possibly be their X factor for this team, and they have a ton of quarterbacks now. We don't know who that's going to end up being. But come week one, they'll at least have one wide receiver that they can count on, and by the name of Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, I guess when it comes down to that, too, because you know their defense is going to be good all around here, too, with what they have. But like you said, if you look at that wide receiving crew, yeah, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, he's got to be the guy, you know, because I don't really believe some of those other guys, especially Deontay Johnson, who's just bounced around. You know, so I'm going to go with Jerry Jeudy as well. That sounds good to me. All right. So next, moving on, who do we got here next?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to go with another wide receiver here, but it's not the guys you might be thinking about right now. He's penciled in as a backup, but let me tell you what, in his second year coming back from injury, I think Roman Wilson is going to be the X factor when it's all said and done for Pittsburgh. This dude is just electric. He's similar to a guy like Ladd McConkey with the Chargers, very quick, shifty type of receiver, and I think he can do much of the same for Pittsburgh. I think as soon as this year, this guy's going to be explosive. Give me Roman Wilson for their X factor.
This is tough here for me. Because I don't know. I'm looking around.
Pick DK Metcalf.
I mean, that's a big factor for them to get it done, but I think he's still going to do his thing.
How about Jalen Warren?
And they're going to do that.
How about Jalen Warren?
How about this? How about Joey Porter Jr.? On defense. Pro Bowler from last year. A lot of people would want to put him as even defensive player of the year. He's their X factor here on the defensive side of the ball. He's got to not be so handsy, but yes, there you
Trash.
Go. How about that?
I said it. Trash.
There you go. Hey, I'm trying to be outside the box. All right. So next we've got the AFC South and the Houston Texans.
So for the Texans, I stuck with offensive side of the ball. Did not take Stroud, the obvious, or Nico Collins. I took another rookie. I think Jaden Higgins, being drafted by the Houston Texans, pairing him up with Nico Collins. Opposite side of him, I think he's going to do some damage in his rookie year for the Texans. So give me the X factor that is known as Jaden Higgins.
Boom. Okay, I like it. I like it. Again, for me, I guess Joe Mixon, the X factor here for them, you know, keep running, doing his thing. I know they added Nick Chubb here, too. That's nice. That's a nice Pierce. Pierce is also there, too. So they got a lot of good talent here in the running back room. But Joe Mixon is always balled in and balled out for them. And for, you know, when he played for the Cincinnati Bengals, it was just crazy that he left that organization. But like you said, they did find something in Chase Brown over there for them. So, But yeah, I think he's a big factor in this team. You gotta keep it balanced because CJ Stroud, when he got pressured last year a bit, he made a lot more mistakes than he did his rookie year. But we'll see him turn it around this year. I'm gonna go with Joe Mixon being their X factor talent here in the backfield. All right, next up, what do we got?
Indianapolis Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts.
I went with defensive end Laiatu Latu, who's going to have a breakout year this year for that defensive line of Indianapolis. We've seen flashes from him in a rotational kind of role, but this year he gets the start all year long. This guy is going, along with Kwity Paye on the opposite end, I mean, this is going to be exciting. Give me Laiatu Latu for the X-Factor player for the Colts.
All right. For me, it's got to be Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, when he's healthy, I mean, dude is over 1,000 yards rusher. I mean, lights out. They need that balanced running game, especially this year, because it looks like, again, just because even injury with Anthony Richardson, that Daniel Jones is going to be a starter. I mean, he's getting all this opportunity to win this starting gig here for them, but then also injuries playing into that. But Jonathan Taylor, he's solid when he's out there, and that's the thing. He's just got to stay healthy because if he's rolling and rock and rolling, that opens it up for the pass game here. And, you know, he's got plenty of talent, you know, wide receivers, Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman Jr. out there to throw the ball to. So, and Josh Downs, too, don't forget him. That was the team I was talking about. They all last year had 800 yards apiece plus, and that was with Richardson. I think Daniel Jones, I think, potentially can get them the same, if not better. But I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor here, staying healthy and pounding the rock here
it's
for the Colts.
It's funny you say that, but a little birdie told me that right now Daniel Jones will be the starter going into the season. So
yeah,
Richardson still banged up with that shoulder injury, should be healthy by week one, but too much time is being given to Daniel Jones with this offense, getting more comfortable with the receivers, understanding it, learning from it, and coaches like what they see from him. So right now, I think Anthony Richardson may have just lost his starting quarterback spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Again, and like I said, even you whatever you think about Daniel Jones, his numbers aren't as bad as what Richardson has been so far. And, I mean, yes, he's been banged up too, but, again, with it, Richardson so young and the injuries, and then plus he already had them in college too. I mean, there's a lot to just, you know, walk away from. You know, Daniel Jones, they got him on a nice, easy deal. I think he makes like $17 million, I think, for this 1 year, on a one-year deal. So it's a prove-it year. He's trying to prove it too. So, I mean, he's got something to prove here. Or else he's potentially out of the league.
In between both of them, they might have a healthy quarterback all year.
Yeah, right. I know. It's funny. It's Steichen. You know, you think that maybe even at one point, if you get Richardson healthy, maybe he goes with two quarterbacks out there. One get, you know, maybe on the same time, you know, and get crazy out there. But who knows? No, I get that. But I mean, you never know. You never know. All right. So let's move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Joe, who do you got? X-Factor player
is going to be D tackle Mason Smith. This dude has been wreaking havoc in the backfields of opposing teams for the last couple of years. Now he has definitely locked in his starting spot this season, actually ousting guys like Eric Armstead, who in a lot of other teams would love to have him as their starter currently. But now he's definitely taken over that spot right now, and Eric Armstead seems to be a guy who's rotating now and no longer starting. So that says a lot by a guy, but like Mason Smith, who has shown the coaching staff and shown the fans out there that he deserves to be out there full time. So give me Mason Smith.
Yeah, I mean this is a tough one because again with the Jacksonville Jaguars and how they've been playing, I'm like the last year was not good at all. So trying to find even a player, there's good talent and I get that, but I'm trying to think of that X factor guy. I think Travis Hunter's still an unknown and has to prove some more to this or being in any NFL. Yeah. I know you went out on a limb on some of these rookies here, but I don't know. I think I'm going to do the same thing. I think I'm going to roll with Mason Smith on this here, over here, on this on the defensive side of the ball.
Go Brian Thomas. You could go do that. No.
I was thinking about it, but okay. No. All right, so moving on, we've got the Tennessee Titans now. Joe, what do you got?
So Harold Landry leaves to go to New England, right? The Titans bring in his replacement, rusher Dremont Jones, who was, when he started his career, was with the Broncos, had a short stint with Seattle. Now he's with the Titans. This dude is an absolute animal as a pass rusher. He's built like a almost kind of in between of a D tackle and D end. But he moves like just a flat-out pass rusher, quick. He's got speed to burn, twitchy. I mean, this dude is an animal. I love him. I can't believe that he's gone to already a couple teams in his career. But, man, the Titans got themselves an absolute dog this year to replace Harold Landry. So give me X-Factor Dremont Jones.
Man, this is another tough one for me, man. I don't even know. I don't know
Peter
about that either.
Guard to it.
Beats me. Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
He's got to protect the rookie.
You know what? I said the guy's older though, so I get that too. You know, I was thinking Simmons because Simmons, you know, that guy
Simmons
still brings it and stuff, but
yeah.
He's getting older, but yeah, I get that. But you know what? I like Tajay Spears, man. What he brings to the table, though, too. Yeah, you know, they bring in Tony Pollard here to kind of be that guy, and he's been okay. But when Tajay Spears is out there on the field, you just see something different here and what he does for the running game and also the passing game on top of it there, too. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Tajay Spears as kind of like that X-Factor guy that I think Cam Ward can kind of, you know, connect with, too.
Yeah, I like that.
So yeah, I'm going to go with that. All right. All right, so here we go. Like I said, I'm sorry. I'm kind of unprepared here. It's been a busy day here, but we're rolling through it. We're doing the X-Factor players. Guys, it's silent out there in the chat. Let us know, too, what you guys think about X-Factor players for your teams, even, too. We're talking AFC right now. And if you agree with ours or not, whatever, that's cool. Let it out in the comments, too. We'd love to see the comments. So finally getting to the AFC West. This is Joe's favorite division here. All right, we've got the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos, the team that I have to face twice a year. I got recently signed safety, Talanoa Huifunga. I think this dude is an absolute animal. He comes over from the 49ers, and when he was healthy, before his injury, this dude had elite status as a safety. You couldn't throw it anywhere near him. He would pick it off. He'd destroy guys coming over the middle of the football field. This guy is he's got his own radar for the football. It's unbelievable. This guy's always in on every play. Give me Talanoa Huifunga, who I think is going to be a huge signing for the Broncos, especially on the back end. A guy who's going to end up being a captain, getting everybody in the right place in that secondary. He's going to be electric for them.
I get that. All right. Again, I was thinking a few different people here. But I think I'm still going to go with good old Reliable on this one, just because the connection's there. These guys looked sweet last year. He's been that guy since Jerry Jeudy moved on, and I'm going Cortland Sutton. That guy has just got it here. He's been balling out, and now even he has some other people here to help him out along with this one. They did bring in Evan Engram at tight end here, who has had some success last couple of years. I've looked around even the running back room, but Cortland Sutton, him and Bo Nix connecting a lot last year. I could see that happen again this year. He's the guy that's going to help go through that offense here. I like Cortland Sutton on this one for the X Factor. All right, next, moving on to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, so for the Chiefs, my X-Factor player is not Chris Jones. That would be like everybody's X-Factor guy. They would probably go to him or Patrick Mahomes.
Perhaps.
But I got to say, it's the D-end for me. The Chiefs D-end, George Karlaftis, who, even though this guy just he wrecks the backfield so much, creates so much pressure all the time. He might not get the sack all the time, but the dude is just tremendous. He's a high effort, high motor type of character. Always putting in his best effort and always trying to get to that quarterback, creating that immense pressure, getting sacks when it's available. And honestly, he does so much for that defensive line. Other than Chris Jones, he's probably my next favorite dude on the Chiefs D-line. He's unreal. So I think he's going to be the X factor for them this year on the defense. Give me George.
Yeah, I know. I get that too. I can see that. Again, I mean, I think this team, I mean, they, you saw last year if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, I mean, they were just not good at all. I mean, he did a lot for them with everybody else just seemed like shut down, especially in that playoff. But let me tell you, a guy that keeps, you know, keeps balling out too and kept that game close too for them in a sense, that's been like a lockdown corner for them, Trent McDuffie. That guy's been a straight baller throughout his career for them so far. And again, playing great last year. I think he's that X factor on the defense when you see that, yes, you got your Nick Boltons, you've got your George Karlaftis down there, and you got your Chris Jones. But when they're trying to get to the quarterback and they ain't getting there, Trent McDuffie's holding it down there. So now they got some time to get there and pick up some of those sacks and get some of them tackles in there. So I'm going to go with Trent McDuffie as being that X factor player for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, finally here we got the Las Vegas Raiders here.
Yeah, so for the Raiders, I'm not going Max Crosby. Too easy to pick him. I'm going opposite. Easy, yeah. A guy who was injured last year, coming back this year. Give me D-end Malcolm Kuntz. This dude is going to be the X factor for the Raiders because there's going to be too much attention mm-hmm. to Max Crosby anyway, and this guy's going to play cleanup. He's a very underrated, hungry type of player who's going to get after the quarterback, get those sacks, and he's already shown that he can do it. Now it would be exciting to see, now that he's coming back healthy, have a whole entire season for him to play opposite Max Crosby, and I think he's going to be the X factor this year for the Raiders.
Man, again, there's a couple different players I could go with on this one, man, but you know what? I said it before. I think I said it a little bit last week. When we talked about dark horses and stuff, I feel like this team's gotten better just because they got Geno Smith. I mean, he's the X factor for me because they had questions at quarterback for the last couple of years here, and now this guy brings solid play, good numbers, doesn't turn the ball over now, you know, and now he's got Ashton Jeanty in the back, which I've said also that this guy can, you know, you can control your whole offense around him, and boom, there you go, and that's your identity. But if you don't have Geno Smith, you don't have any of that. So I think Geno Smith is the X factor, the big addition that they made this year. That's the key part for this team.
Yeah, now we got to see if Ashton Jeanty is the real deal.
Right.
He hasn't taken a snap in the NFL yet.
Yep.
So everybody's true. Everybody's throwing some of these rookies and saying, oh, he's going to be electric. Mm-hmm. He's going to be great. Well, we'll see. We'll see how well they do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We shall see. All right, so finally here, Joe, as we look at the AFC X-Factors, we've got the Los Angeles Chargers.
The Chargers, they gave me a little bit of a hard time because they don't value wide receivers. So they got, like, a bunch of guys that they had last year, and then they added one other veteran, and it's like, it's kind of underwhelming. The running backs, you know that they're going to be plentiful. They drafted another one high. You know, they signed J.K. Dobbins. They do all these things, and I just like, you know what? It's just the everyday thing with Jim Harbaugh. I'm going to go on the defensive side here, and I'm going to give a little credit where it's due. Middle linebacker Dan Henley for the Chargers. This guy kind of goes a little bit overlooked. Commands the huddle, is a defensive captain, is sideline to sideline as a linebacker, phenomenal tackler, is just super smart, and he just reads the plays before they even happen. Give me Dion Henley. I think the dude is a stud.
All right, here. So, yeah, looking at this team here, for me, man, yeah, like you said, that they like to go kind of run first. They kind of opened it up a little bit last year towards the end when they realized that they had to. Defense was pretty good. Again, I think I got to go I know it sounds easy, but I think Justin Herbert, if they don't have Justin Herbert, they don't have anything on this one, even though they got some good talent here and there. If he's not commanding the team here, they go nowhere. So I think Justin Herbert has got to be their key X-factor player here for this team moving forward. Because again, they don't care about wide receivers. You know, they loaded up on some more running backs here. I like the addition of Najee Harris, you know, Marion Hampton, but again, haven't seen him take a snap yet. Looks pretty good. Like they could do something there. And again, I like a handful of, players here on defense too as well. So, but again, I think it all goes around Justin Herbert. I think he's my X factor player here for the Chargers.
You know what? Honestly, you could go to every team and say their quarterback is their X factor player.
Exactly, you know, you could.
When you think about it, because
it could be like
it's the most important position, right? So, of course, it's the one that starts with the football, you know, and distributes it. But Justin Herbert, sometimes, you know what? I'll say this about the Chargers is with Jim Harbaugh coming in there, implementing his offense. And, you know, he has his likes and dislikes. Justin Herbert, I don't think he should be that excited to have Jim Harbaugh as his head coach because he's not a passing type of guy. So unless the game is getting a little out of hand or they got to try to get back into it, he unfortunately doesn't get to display all of his talent. It's only when needed.
Right, I get that. But again, he does have something, you know, that connection with quarterbacks, though. I mean, whatever you might think of what he might have been able to do with Kaepernick, he unlocked something in Kaepernick still.
Yeah, Ron.
You know, confidence or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, again, somebody, again, who, you know, had some arm talent, you know, former baseball player too as well. The only thing he couldn't get down was that touch. But again, unlock something maybe just even within them. You see coaches, especially Tomlin, right? He's not exactly, I know he knows his X's and O's, but he's more of a player's coach. He unlocks something in people emotionally that when they talk to him, I'd run through a brick wall for that guy. And I think that, you know, that's what Harbaugh does sometimes with some of these quarterbacks. You know, I mean, he's got that quarterback whisper. He just whispers to him the right way.
For me, Justin Herbert's already
they're hitting each other and banging, smashing heads, loving each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? Something's going.
Justin Herbert's already good before he even got there. So,
I get that. I get that. But I would say that Jim Harbaugh is the X factor. But all right, so there you go. There's X factors here for the AFC. We're going to do the NFC next week. We're going to get into some free agency talk quick. But Joe, again, tell everybody in case they missed the first part of the show where they can get more episodes of the Blindside Blitz and more shows and podcasts.
It's pretty simple. I mean, you all know what you're doing at this point. Like, if you're part of the Blitz Nation, congratulations. I really do appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. But if you're not, head over to YouTube where Grumblings Media is. Hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up because you may not believe it, but that actually helps us, goes a long way with the algorithm of YouTube and shows us, hey, they're getting likes. Let's push them up. Let's get everybody else some more exposure of them. And also don't forget to share it to all your family and friends. Really do appreciate everybody that has shown support. We hope that you come aboard and join us. We've just eclipsed 16,000 subscribers and climbing. We want you guys to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Again, if you're lazy out there, we have a QR code right there. You can just scan with your phone too. So do it up. We enjoy it. We appreciate you guys too as well. So Joe, yeah, you got the list here of the top free agents that are out there. Let's take a look at them and see if they can help a team right now, or if, you know, like we talked about when we opened the show, like they kind of just mosey on into the unknown, to the abyss of retirement.
So here's the first one. Amari Cooper, the elephant in the room, the one wide receiver that's left out there that has talent, but he's 31 years old. You know, he came back from an injury after leaving Cleveland, goes to Buffalo, doesn't really show a whole lot. Like, he had some flash plays, don't get me wrong, in Buffalo that were amazing, but we just don't see it consistently anymore. And you got to wonder, like, is it because of age? Is it because of that injury? Is he really 100% healthy now? You know, like, maybe he was hampered a little bit when he played for Buffalo and wasn't 100% healthy. So we don't know that. But being 31 years old, you're on the wrong side of 30 in the NFL. You know, this is kind of that gray area for athletes where it could go one of two ways. You could either still be good enough to play and to contribute and help another team, or you start to decline with getting nagging injuries and just not playing up to what you're normally capable of. So for Amari Cooper, for me, I think he can help another team, but it has to be in a certain role. He's no longer the X factor type of guy. You can kick him outside and he's going to run by the coverage for a deep bomb. Now it's going to be more like kind of slot wide receiver duty, kind of rotating in. That's how I view him right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Again, significant downturn in production. And now at his age, too, with the long career now that he's had, too, what's that, 9 seasons? You know, again, it looks like, yeah, I don't think anybody even picks him up late. I mean, if they have a wide receiver go down, or are they going to make a playoff run? I don't think they're like, oh, Amari Cooper, let's bring him in. This is going to help. You know, so
I mean, I think that's what
think
will end up happening.
Be one of those things.
I mean, that's what it always happens. Maybe when a team loses an injury to a starting wide receiver or something like that, they go look at the free agency wire and see who's available. If Cooper's still there, I mean, it's a guy who, you know, when he comes in, you know what he's going to give you, and he can just kind of come in and learn the playbook. And obviously, he's a veteran; he's been there, done that. So the transition won't take as long.
Yeah, I mean, if he is, then I'm wondering what happens when, say, a team needs somebody, right? And you know that there's another good, like, receiver on another team that's struggling. They're looking to dump money or whatever, you know, unload on guys, or say they're complaining, I want off this team. I want to be traded by the trade deadline. Do teams go for a trade for a player like that instead, like we've seen with DeAndre Hopkins and you know, and what
that comes down,
or do they just say Amari Cooper, hey, he's out there, we're not going to have to trade anything.
Exactly.
We just try
it comes
him
down
out.
To compensation, and it depends on who the player is, how good they actually are, which determines the compensation. Do you have to give a middle round pick, a higher pick? So that's all decision based. And when it comes to Amari Cooper, you're not giving up anything. You're paying him peanuts to come and play. At this point, the market for him has dwindled to nothing. And so now you can sign him on a league veteran minimum contract and pay him hardly anything. And if you get just solid play from him, you're winning already. So that to me is just going to be decision-based at that point. Like, what do you want to give up, and are you willing to? Or you go a different route and go to free agency.
Yep. All right, who we got next here?
Next we got Asante Samuel, the corner from the formerly of the Chargers, who happens to only be 25 years old, but he is coming back from a major injury. And he's had a couple of, you know, solid major type of injuries in his career. He's only 25, though. He's in the middle of his prime. I mean, I'm kind of surprised with so many teams are in need of corners or even depth at the cornerback position, that this dude is still a free agent. 100%. If he checks out on all his medicals and he's 100% healthy, you got to give this guy another shot, don't you? I mean, so young, and he could produce for you guys. Like, if he comes in and even just earns a spot on the team, and let's say what your starter goes down with injury, you have him who's a former starter, can fill that role, and who knows, maybe he takes off again. Maybe he stays healthy all year and shows you, like, hey, maybe we need to sign this guy long term. So I think with his age and being so young that he is, like, this guy definitely deserves another chance, even to make a team right now with some rosters that we've seen that, like, okay, man, they could really use corner. Like, I'm surprised that this dude still hasn't been called. Or maybe, and who knows, maybe it's the other side of it with Asante. Maybe Asante wants too much money, too. There's also that part of it, as being a young corner who's coming back from injury. Maybe he's, but you know, the price tag for him is a little too high, and teams are kind of shying away from it. So, but definitely, I think he could help out a team regardless.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's always the head scratcher with that, because you see the guys that are young, and you're kind of like, well, this guy still has something. I mean, you know, as long as that injury wasn't, you know career ending, right. But yeah, I think he definitely has stuff to contribute here. Yes, he, you know, hasn't had, you know, interceptions for touchdowns, stuff like that. But seriously, two picks in every season of his career, you know, 63, you know, tackles in a year before he got injured. So, I mean, this guy is out there. He's a ball hawk. He's definitely better than some of these corners or safeties that are out there for people. But I think he can definitely contribute to any team out there still. I thought it was very surprising that he didn't get picked up. When we talked about free agents, like, early on, I thought he was going to be one of those guys that was kind of dark to go pick him up here, play corner for somebody or safety. So I think he still has an opportunity. He's young. Maybe a team decides to take a shot, but to what extent? Is it later on when, again, playoff time, trade deadline time? I don't know, but I think he definitely can contribute to a team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm surprised that he's still there. And that's the other thing, too, is as a fan, you, like, even if you're a fan of your own personal team, like, Jim's a Giants fan, I'm a Raiders fan, and you look at your rosters as a fan, you're like, who's this third-string corner we have? Never heard of him before. But there's a guy by the name of Asante Samuel out there who you know is better than that third-string corner. I mean, I don't understand why more teams you know, bring in a guy like Asante, even if it's a backup role, and say, hey, we'll give you a chance to start, but you got to start here. You know what I mean? And go from there. So, work your way.
So that it does just makes you think that it's like the asking price or something. Yeah, but again, for a guy, yes, he did well, but I mean,
has
come
to
on.
Be, right? Like,
you want to get back in the league, right?
Listen, you don't want to price yourself to where you don't have a job. So now we're getting closer to, you know, we got what? A little over a month, maybe a month for training camp to start. And if you're a free agent out there and you don't get signed before training camp to at least show what you can do, maybe make the team, it's an uphill battle then from that point on, because you might see teams in training camp like, oh, we lost our offensive tackle. You know, we lost our wide receiver, our corner, our safety, whatever the case may be. And now they look to free agency. But by that time, you got like a couple weeks to impress the coaches. It's an uphill battle from that point on. So getting in as soon as possible is better. Another player that we have out here is Julian Blackman, the former safety of the Indianapolis Colts, who happens to yet again be young. He's still in his prime at 27 years old. Julian Blackman, a excellent starter for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm surprised he never re-signed with the Colts for them to bring him back or anything like that. I understand that, yes, he's another guy that is coming back from injury, and maybe that's part of the reason, but, man, I mean, again, safety position. You can't tell me out of all 32 teams that they're all solidified with backups or starters. Like, somebody needs help. And then you got Julian Blackman here still sitting here in free agency.
Yeah, I agree. The same thing, like, when you were talking about before, like, at corner stuff, I'm thinking of years I had Jason Pinnock, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, gosh, this is what we're trotting out there, you know? Yeah, when you got the guy that's this young, and again, maybe if he had, yes, you know, an injury here or so, but seriously, the last season that he had three picks. Season before that, four picks, one pick the season before. I mean, this guy is just producing, and he's getting turnovers, tackles for losses, QB hits. What else? 86 combo tackles. Like the dudes, what's the thing? Yeah. He got some anti-pick me repellent on? What's going on here, dude? Like, seriously.
Right?
What is it? You know, some guys just staying away from it. Again, I don't know what this guy's asking for, but if he's going astronomical, yeah, he needs to just, you know, chill. Because, again, you don't want to work yourself out of the league here. But I think he could definitely produce for a team, you know.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he's still available, too. Who knows, maybe it changes in the next couple of weeks. But, again, another guy who's young in his prime could definitely contribute, whether it be, backup role rotating or even a starter. I'm just surprised by both of those guys, Asante and Julian, both, like, how they're still available right now. Someone that I'm not surprised that's still available is Jadeveon Clowney, edge rusher, who happens to be 32 years old now. This is a guy who's made an enormous amount of money doing
that is one big benefit.
Exactly. The guy does not produce in sacks. He only produces in terms of stuffing the run. Like, he's a great run defender, and he does create pressure, but he can never finish the job, get a sack. So, yeah, there's a couple of years that he's had in his career where, you know, he did fairly good, had, you know, just barely double digit or just shy of it. But I got to say, like, at this point in your career, man, like, you haven't produced enough to show everybody that you're still a guy that can do everything. Coming out of South Carolina as a number one overall draft pick, you were deemed as a guy who could get to the quarterback and finish. And in the NFL, your whole career really didn't do it consistently. So 32 years old, again, I think Jadeveon Clowney, if you are going to bring him in and give him any kind of a chance to make a team, it's going to be as a backup. And that's kind of how I just view him at this point in his career. But if you don't want to really spend the money at all or anything like that, or you can't, you know, agree onto a contract, I just say let him just live out there in free agent land.
Yeah, I mean, he is easily in the conversation for one of the biggest draft busts of all time. You know what I mean? That's the thing, and the pressure that's on some of these guys when they pick, you know, number one overall and stuff. I mean, that draft class felt like, it was him, he was number one, and then was Mariota number two, I think it was that year, I think, or something like that. And, yeah, that's what I mean. Never really – if you're number one overall pick, you got to be a game changer just like that. You know what I'm saying? And he wasn't no Micah Parsons or anything like that. He wasn't blowing it up, you know, for Houston. So that he bounced around to different teams. Oh, maybe I can jump on here and try and help out a little bit, contribute so I can get a ring or something. You know, he was doing the traveling act here. And he didn't help out enough that it kept him on rosters. We see kind of Chase Young doing that kind of tour right now, but I think even Chase Young in his rookie year had a better year than what, you know, he did. So, but that's the thing, though. You've got other players in the league still kind of doing that now. You don't need 32-year-old Jadeveon Clowney. So, writing's on the wall, dude. You might as well just pack it in, you know, retire, man. I don't think anybody's going to be knocking on the door.
They haven't yet.
Was that too harsh? I mean, yeah, like, come on.
Another player that was out is Mike Hilton, nickel corner, formerly of the Bengals. He's 31 years old, but a guy, by all means, a lot of people view him as a very good nickel corner, and it's one of those positions that tend to get overlooked. Everyone wants to see the outside corner, the shutdown guys on the outside and everything, and that's exciting and all. But a good nickel corner. So if you're a team out there still, you know, kind of kicking the tires on the guys that are on your roster and you're, like, not really sure if you have a starter, this is a guy that you can kind of plug and play, I think, still, and can produce for you at a high level. He's still out there as well.
Yeah, again, it's always tough with some of these older corners and stuff like that. I mean, sometimes they do find, you know, their squads. You know, we've seen Adoree Jackson and stuff, you know, like with the Giants and things, to where he continues to find, you know, work here and there. So maybe Mike Hilton's got a shot. Again, like you said, when he was in the league, he was decent, mainly known for, like, a tackler and stuff like that. No astronomical turnovers and stuff like that, but solid, like you said. I don't know. I think it would have to be really, like, all of a sudden, like the Buffalo Bills of last year in the playoffs, like, all of a sudden your whole secondary is depleted. You're like, I'll bring this guy in. Why not? Let's see what happens, you know? Because I think we haven't even got to, you know, roster cuts and everything yet to when the season starts. So again, there's going to be a whole nother pool of players out there that, you know, teams are going to just pick up. So.
Yeah, and we see how teams will, like, maybe cut a guy in training camp to pick up one of these free agents to bring them in and see if they can make the team. That's very possible. That could still happen for a lot of these guys, too. Guys like big-name guys, like Keenan Allen. You know, Keenan Allen is out there. He's 33 years old as a wide receiver, and actually had a pretty decent year with Chicago. You know, he was heavily favored by Caleb Williams, and definitely, you know, was producing for them. So they've moved on, obviously, because they have a young core of wide receivers now there, so they don't need Keenan Allen's services. But maybe a team that is maybe Cleveland, you know, the Browns could really use.
Oh, yeah, right. But that's the thing, too. It's like, yeah, it's like
some of the – yeah. Nobody that really has – strikes any fear into nothing.
Yeah. But I don't know. Again, it's – you can tell right now where he is, though. Again, he's one of those guys. He's older, so now he's looking to try and jump onto a team. He's ready to jump aboard the ship here. So if somebody, again, like – is making a run, say even that they don't even have wide receiver injuries, right? See, all of a sudden they're making a run, but they're like, hell, he's still out there. Why not? Let's just take him up, you know, get a little more depth here too, especially with who we're going to be facing, you know, matchups. Like, let's do it. Let's see what we can do. And then he'll obviously jump aboard, you know what I mean? Because I think he's chasing for that team. I don't think he wants to deal with, like, Cleveland. You know, in another team, like what happened with him with Chicago. Yeah, he did okay, but I mean, that's his worst year since, with as many games since, oh my God, going all the way back to his second year in the league. You know what I mean? So, because you can't count the year, you know, in 2022 where he only played 10 games. So he basically played almost a full season this one and had 700 yards. Every other year besides that, over 1,000 yards or so. So, if production was down, he was frustrated again because of the inadequacies of the quarterback situation, the offense, the team all together. So, again, I think he's happy with sitting it out, waiting it out, seeing for the right opportune moment, and then probably just looking at it and say, hey, if nobody does want me, then I'll just sign it up, you know?
But that's the thing is Keenan Allen wants to play. He said that much. So, I mean, he's looking
to play. I bet he does, but I don't think he wants to play for anybody.
Well, you might not be able to have a job then, you know, at 33 years old. You can't be too picky about it. And the fact that he could still give some kind of production to a team at the slot position, though, like that's the thing. He's also locked into one position. He no longer can play outside. So it definitely puts him in a smaller box for any one team to pick him up. But I feel like a team that needs wide receivers now going into week one, they should definitely announce and see if they can get a deal done. Okay. Justin Simmons, former starter of the Atlanta Falcons last year. He's 31 years old, safety, a guy who played, again, at a high level for the Atlanta Falcons. All of a sudden, you have one good year, and nobody wants to talk to you. He's a free agent. And I'm sorry, like, it's not like he's 34 where you're like, we don't want to risk injury to him and, you know, invest any kind of money and all that. He's only 31 and he's stayed pretty healthy, you know, in his career. So, I mean, if you're a team that, again, like, there's a few safeties that are out there in free agency that definitely, definitely can help. I think Simmons is one of those guys that deserves a shot.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it is kind of strange that he's still out there. Yes, again, 9 years in the league, but still productive, you know, for what he's doing. And one of the top guys, again, if you look at just throw last year out, Pro Bowl, AP, Pro Bowl, AP team, you know what I mean? So consecutive, you know, accolades for great seasons. Back in 2022, had a career high of 6 INTs. And again, if you look at his INT list, it's ridiculous, bro. It's like some people don't have this many, you know, touchdowns and quarterbacks, you know, play and stuff. So it's crazy. So, I mean, still a productive player there, so that can help out anybody. And again, a guy like this, if he sits out there, it's going to be one of those teams like we talked about with Jair Alexander, kind of, Joe, when you talk about teams like the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, they don't really need him, but they're like, screw it. We'll go grab him in here. It's a win-win situation for both of us, so why not? So I think if it's a, you know, again, playoff bound team and they see this guy out there, they're like, screw it. Hey, let's bring him in. Whatever. He could be rotational, whatever. Bring him on in and see what happens. You know, whatever, you know, why not? Yeah. Where he's not going to kill us. And then I'm sure, again, if it's a playoff bound team, he's like, sure, bring it on. Are we playing against the Broncos? You know, or what are we doing?
You know? Right. Another player that I'm going to mention is Gabe Davis, wide receiver, formerly of the Jaguars, who happens to only be 26 years old. Used to play for the Bills. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows him. He's this, like, taller type of framed wide receiver who can attack you deep, who can get the jump ball. Was pretty solid, actually, when he was in Buffalo, and then goes to Jacksonville and kind of disappeared. Like, nobody could find him. Like, where's Waldo? Like, we lost him. But now he found himself into free agency, and it's just sitting there at 26 years old. I mean, this is, again, like we talk about some of these wide receivers, Amari Cooper, 31, you know, Keenan Allen, who's 33. And now you've got Gabe Davis, who happens to be 26 years old and is just sitting out there. So it's like part of it could be contract maybe, but then for a lot of these guys that have been sitting in the free agent pool for so long, it kind of can't be that anymore. Like, it just has to go with interest from the teams and maybe teams that would be interested that he fits their scheme. They're full right now. They don't have a need for him. So it's another intriguing type of player where Gabe Davis can't even talk. He is just kind of out there when he probably should be on a team right now. He's definitely capable of helping somebody.
Right, right. And that's what's kind of funny, too, is like, that reminds me of back when we were talking about this. We were talking to Lindsay on our other show. He's a Giants fan as well. And again, Brian Daboll brought him in. They're talking. I thought that was going to be a done deal. So what happened there? I mean, they know each other. He knows the offense. You know what I mean? So that seemed like a good fit because, again, besides Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson, we'll say, nobody there is really, again, scaring me. I mean, you think Gabe Davis can't compete with Zach Pascal and some guys like this, even Darius Slayton for that matter? What gives? You know what I mean? That, if anything, you had a perfect fit. I think the Giants had a perfect fit. And they didn't get a deal done. So what is it? Like you said, it can't be exactly contract at that point. So what happens in those interviews or something, you know? Why isn't he? But I think the one thing that some people are deterred by is the fact that he looked pretty good in Buffalo, but then as he moved on to different teams, kind of asked to be that guy, didn't really step up and kind of be that guy. So now he's just another wide receiver in the rotation. So basically try out for a bunch of different teams out there. But it is odd that he's still out there and nobody really decided to give him a shot. But who knows, maybe around cut time, like you said, they cut some of these rookies they grabbed or whatever, get some of that, and they're like, all right, now we can bring in Gabe Davis in or something.
Yeah, could happen. Another player that I'm a little puzzled by is 26-year-old offensive tackle Jedrick Wills, formerly of the Browns. Now, we all know that he is coming back, still coming back from a major injury, and that's probably the majority reason of why he's still out there in free agency. But at this point, a lot of teams you feel kind of comfortable with where your offensive line is, except for maybe the depth part. This is a former starter that you could bring in who's still in the middle of his prime as you wait for him to get healthier. Work with the trainers, you know what I mean, rehab and all that. You might have yourself a guy who can come in and start for you when he's ready. Maybe it's the middle of the season and your guard goes down and he could fill that void right away and you don't miss a beat. So guys like this, I always kind of scratch my head a little bit. I get the injury part. I understand that. But talent is talent. And if you have young talent, what's the holdup? Why not bring him in? Why not work with him? And in the end, you might have to have yourself another starter waiting in the wings and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's tough when you have, you know, the back-to-back injuries here after being in the league 5 years. I think that's all people are looking at, and they're looking kind of like, what are we going to get here? So, I mean, I think if he gets himself completely healthy and then try and show up to try and try out for a team somewhere or something like that, potentially, but I don't think it's anytime soon. I mean, you might see this guy somewhere else, maybe in the, you know, the UFL or something like that, but I don't know. I get it. I get the talent.
I don't know. He'll be playing.
I don't know.
Definitely be playing.
We'll see.
After that, I mean, it's hit or miss with some of these free agents, so there's really nobody really else to go over that's worth talking about.
All right. Well, we'll find out then. We'll be tracking that as we go, Joe. So, yeah, I mean, the league's coming pretty soon. We've, like we said, grabbed a bunch of lot more viewers and subscribers out there. We're up to 16,000 out there. We appreciate everybody out there for following along, commenting, sharing the videos too. We had a bunch of different shares, views, and stuff. We're working on some more shorts too for you guys. So sit tight. More stuff's coming. We love you, Blitz Nation out there. Joe, tell everybody again one more time before we head up out of here at the end of the video here. So tell them where they can get more shows like us, and they even subscribe to us if they stuck around and listened and haven't decided yet.
Really appreciate everybody that has supported us thus far. It's real simple. I mean, you guys already know the drill by now. I mean, you don't have to keep listening to me. Just head over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button for us, hit the thumbs up too. It does really help us out. It helps allow YouTube to notice, like, hey, you're getting some likes. Let's show it to everybody else. So, and don't forget to share it with all your family and friends. Thank you guys so much for the support. We'll see you in the next one.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Like Joe said, we will see you guys in the next one.